From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we start out on another week of broadcasting. Today we are going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Continuing our study of the life of Christ, we're looking at this very, very busy time in the life of the Savior recorded in Matthew 8 and other passages that are parallel. We're going to be thinking this week upon the subject of Christ, the physician of bodies and souls. That's our topic for this week. Before we get to today's message, we'll have some good gospel music and start off with our hot topic for today. The South Carolina Constitution bans homosexual marriage. Last November, the voters of South Carolina, by a 4-1 majority, approved a constitutional amendment that effectively banned homosexual marriage and recognized that marriage is the lawful union of one man and one woman. South Carolina already banned same-sex marriage, but the amendment was necessary to ensure that activist judges could not frustrate the will of the people and their lawmakers. So the state's legislature has ratified the amendment. So while other states have capitulated to the sodomite lobby, the latest being New Hampshire, South Carolina has refused to go down that road. The South Carolina amendment states, and I quote, "A marriage between one man and one woman is the only lawful domestic union that shall be valid or recognized in this state," end the quote. In effect, this is saying that the state recognizes what any sane person understands. Marriage is the lawful union of a man and a woman, not the perverted cohabitation of a man and a man. It also effectively means that the state recognizes that it has a vital interest in strengthening the traditional family and that the homosexual lifestyle has no equivalent claim on its support. South Carolina's adoption of a constitutional amendment in favor of marriage is one small victory in the ongoing culture war against rampant secularism, whose aim is the destruction of the moral basis of our society. Secularists rightly perceive that the basis on which traditional morality rests is largely Christian. It's because of the Christian roots of American society that we have the moral code that has governed the nation for most of its history. Secularists are at war with everything Christian and demand that the nation be set free from every vestige of Christian influence in its government and in its culture. Thus, they vehemently push for the acceptance of homosexual unions as in every way the equal of a traditional marriage in the eyes of the state. Unless the people in the rest of the states demand the right to do what the voters of South Carolina have done, they will be at the mercy of activist judges and time-serving politicians. I have no idea how the people of New Hampshire, for example, would vote if offered a constitutional amendment on the issue. But it would be better to give them the chance to vote on such an amendment than to allow the issue to be settled by state legislators. The only objection to allowing the people to vote on a constitutional amendment is the fear that they may be more conservative on the issue of marriage than their legislators and judges. Jerry Falwell used to speak of a moral majority in America. If it's true that the majority of Americans want their nation to retain the same moral principles that govern society for most of American history, it's time that their voice was heard. South Carolina and a few other states have pointed the way. It's time for others to follow. Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
Savior, oh, thou art all to thy throne forever, I stand complete in thee. Though Satan loud accuses, yet I can ever see the blood of Christ most precious, the sinner's perfect plea. I need thee, precious Savior, for I am very poor, a stranger. I have no earthly store. I need thy love, Lord Jesus, to cheer me on my way, to guide my doubting footsteps, and be my strength and stay. Precious Savior, and hope to see thee soon, encircled with the rainbow, and seated on thy throne, there with thy blood-bought people, my joy shall I praise, Lord Jesus, and never gaze on thee.
We're reading this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and then over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. We will not, but if time permitted, we would add 20 more verses from Mark chapter 1. They're all in the same period of the Savior's life. So as we continue our studies in the life of Christ, we're reading Matthew chapter 8, the first 13 verses of the chapter, and then Luke chapter 4, 33 through 45. Let's hear God's word together. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I'm not going to be preaching in this particularly this morning, but it's interesting that in the New Testament, as it's set out before us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the first record of anybody coming and addressing Christ as Lord. It's interesting, is it not? It was not Peter. It was not John. It was a leper. It wasn't one of the scribes or Pharisees. It wasn't a Nicodemus. It was an outcast leper who came, worshipped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. May the Lord give us eyes to see him as he is and understand something of his glory. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest,
and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Then Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, commencing at verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. It is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith that Jesus Christ is God. There's no Christianity apart from that. Anyone who denies the absolute, true, eternal deity of Jesus Christ, co-equal and co-eternal, co-essential with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is not a Christian. So all those cults that deny the deity of Christ are not Christian, but satanic cults. That, in many ways, is the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. But we must never forget that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. And we must never forget that that flesh is real flesh. That the man Christ Jesus was a real man. And if we keep that in mind, we'll be amazed at what we read in Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 4, and the passage that I referred to but didn't read in Mark chapter 1, commencing at the 21st verse. In these passages, we're confronted with a level of activity that boggles the imagination. You read those verses and you sort of let your mind go numb. You're not at the scene, as it were. These are just words. That's a tragedy, because unless we get beyond the words to the real situation, we're going to miss its impact. Reading these verses, we see the Lord Jesus Christ traveling, teaching, healing, opposing Satan and casting him out, laying hands on the demonized and setting them free, getting very little rest, working till late at night, and then, as Mark puts it, a great way, while before dawn, up again to be out in the desert, alone with God, in the place of prayer. And even there, being interrupted first by Peter and the disciples, and then by the whole crowd, as the public forces itself upon him once again. It is a scene of incessant activity. And activity not only of a high physical level of energy output, but a level of the most intense mental and emotional energy as well. Summing up the Savior's entire ministry, Peter said he went about doing good. I suppose if ever there was an understatement, that is it. He went about. What a simple way to sum up a life that human words do not have the power to describe in the constant output of its energy. He went about, and he went about doing good. All the chapters I have read have a series of events in them, and they crowd one on top of the other. We would say that there was hardly time to breathe, never mind time to eat and to sleep. And yet, through it all, the one thing that stands out is that the Lord Jesus Christ never once had his patience ruffled. Never once. Now, this is why I was emphasizing how real is his humanity, because this stands in stark contrast to the rest of humanity. When you're tired, when you're sleepless, when people are crowding you, when one problem is thrown on top of another, that's when the most patient begin to lose their patience, or at least have it ruffled. Here in the Lord Jesus, there is not even a hint of irritability, for he entertained none. There wasn't a thought for himself or for his own comfort. His mind was set on doing the work of the kingdom, and using all that he did and had opportunity to do as a platform for his teachings about the kingdom that so astonished his hearers. his boundless energy in reaching out to the throngs around about him, provide what one old writer called the unwearied toil of, or should I say, provide an example of the unwearied toil of self-renouncing love. I like the way he put that. The unwearied toil of self-renouncing love.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.